Silence. All rise. Please be seated.
Yes, Mr. Hodge.
And you can bring up qps.0001.1312.0001. And we look at the bottom of the page first. We see this is an email that Inspector Neville sent on the 16th of March to Kathy Allen and copied to you and Superintendent McNabb. And you see, he says, I've been continuing to track success rates of samples that originally reported as DNA insufficient for further processing, but then yielded a usable profile when QPS requested testing to continue. I'm still seeing a similar success rate of nearly 30%.
Yes.
And so that was 16 March. That was the day before you had your meeting with the QPS, I think, on the 17th of March.
Okay.
And then on the 1st of April, if we go to the top of the page, Inspector Neville writes again and again copies it to you and Superintendent McNabb and says, previously you indicated that you would provide a report in response to issues raised by QPS around the thresholds used to triage continuation of DNA testing. I spoke to Bruce, who indicated that he has not received this as yet, unless he missed it amongst his many emails. In any case, can you confirm whether or not this has been provided yet, please? If not, do you have an expected date of release? Bruce has also requested that the report be provided to me as the responsible officer for DNA in the QPS, please. And I take it that last part was because Ms. Allen had displayed some lack of interest, to put it mildly, in sending things to Inspector Neville.
I'm not going to comment on Kathy's intentions. I can read that email.
Well, you were aware of the emails and copied into the emails between Ms. Allen and Inspector Neville?
I was.
And was it the case that she was emailing Superintendent McNabb rather than emailing Inspector Neville, or you can't remember?
No. Normally it would be Kathy and David direct to one another.
Okay. So in any event, he's indicating that the report should go to him.
Okay.
And as at the 1st of April 2022, what did you understand was the situation in relation to the report?
Well, at that stage, from memory, I thought that, you know, the exec summary was being prepared. So I thought it was, well, I hoped it was close.
On the 1st of April?
Yes.
And as far as you know, was it provided to the police?
By Ms. Allen?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge.
And do you know why it wasn't provided?
You'd have to ask her that.
So you're saying you understood that Ms. Allen was going to provide it and your understanding never changed?
I understood that it would be provided to me initially, and subsequently the document I did receive I sent to Superintendent McNabb.
Was that in June?
That was in June.
And just do the best you can for us. Were you involved in a decision not to provide it to the police in April?
So in my statement,
you can just answer the question. Were you involved in a decision in April not to provide the report to police?
I was.
And could you just tell us about that involvement?
So because at the time I was under the impression that the external review was imminent, I spoke with someone in QH Legal, and we talked about the timing of releasing a report, given that the external review was about to happen. And I now know that when you speak to a lawyer, it's not legal advice unless it's formal. I did not know that at the time.
No, it can be informal, but okay. Privileges have been waived here.
So. Okay. Mm. Well, so I guess I took legal advice as advice from a legal person, and I subsequently said to Superintendent McNab that the report would be held and be part of the external review. So that was my misunderstanding, but that's how I recall it happening.
So rather than pursuing an inquiry and dialogue with QPS, your view was that it would be better if it was subsumed in the external review that was that you were expecting?
Yes. Because that was going to be, as far as I understood it, very comprehensive.
Is what you told Superintendent McNab that your legal unit had asked that all such reporting on Inspector Neville's request be held until the review of SSS, FSS, is commenced at the direction of the government?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Yes. Is what you told Superintendent McNab that your legal unit had asked that all such reporting be held until the review of FSS was commenced at the direction of government?
That's an interesting way to put that. I simply said it was a very informal conversation with Bruce during a tour of the forensic facility at QPS. And I said to him, I've received legal advice that we should wrap up this report as part of the review. And I said, how did he feel? He said he was happy with that at that stage. It was a very informal conversation. So that's not that I'd requested that I'd been given legal advice to stop any documentation, just that report being provided to the police would, we would hold off on that pending the review. That's my understanding at the time.
So, again, just do the best you can for me. Maybe we start in the middle with what you told Superintendent McNab. You told Superintendent McNab that you'd received legal advice to hold off on providing the supplementary report until the external review is completed?
For it to be included in that. So if we weren't going to provide that report at that stage and that the external review was about to commence.
Well, I'll show you what you said in your supplementary statement. So can we bring up, this is the first supplementary statement, so it's, oh, great. And then if we can go to, it's page 26 and 27, paragraph 87. You see in paragraph 87, you say, on 5 April 2022, I had not received the supplementary report, but mentioned to Superintendent McNab of QPS that I had received legal advice to hold the supplementary report until the findings of the external review were known.
Well, it was going to be included in that.
Just do the best you can for us. Which one did you tell Superintendent McNab?
As I said, I said to him that the, that I'd received legal advice that we should hold off providing that report to Queensland Police and that the external review was imminent. I didn't know when the external review would be concluded. That's probably my wording not being as clear as it could be.
When you prepared this supplementary statement, were you shown an internal email between Superintendent McNab and Inspector Neville?
And who?
And Inspector Neville.
Not that I recall.
What was it that prompted you to include this paragraph in the supplementary statement?
I guess I wanted to clarify that foolishly I thought legal advice was legal advice and that that's what happened. So because it's been raised since that that I perhaps referred to legal advice as being reasons not to do certain things. It was advice from a legal colleague. And so I did say that to Superintendent McNab. At the time, he was comfortable with that. And because we were, well, I think I inferred to him that the external review was imminent.
So can I suggest to you it's not true that Superintendent McNab was comfortable, that in fact what he said to you is something to the effect that QPS was very uncomfortable that such a serious matter would be delayed?
No.
You don't remember that?
No.
And so you say you told him, based on legal advice, the supplementary report is going to be wrapped up into the external review?
I didn't say wrapped up into the external review.
What did you say?
I can't remember exactly what I said. I said to him, as I said to you before, that the follow-up report would providing it to them now in the face of the beginning of an external review was not necessarily recommended. I do not recall him saying he was uncomfortable with that.
And sorry, why was it not recommended?
That we had talked about the fact that the external review was about to commence. And so to provide that report to police when we knew that thresholds were going to be reviewed, that the whole process from the moment of receipt of an exhibit to reporting was going to be assessed, it would be part of a review by an external expert.
And somebody from Queensland Health Legal said this to you?
We had a conversation.
Who was it?
Megan Fairweather.
And so Megan Fairweather said to you, just do the best you can for us. I'm assuming if there's any privilege claim, somebody will claim it. What is it that she told you about providing the report to the QPS?
We talked about the timing. It was about the timing of releasing the report, which I still didn't have it, to the Queensland Police and the commencement of the review. So I misunderstood that as legal advice, as I've said.
I'm not interested in legal advice.
So if I could finish, then that's what I was led to believe from our conversation.
Sorry, led to believe what?
That it would be best for us for me to speak with Superintendent McNab, explain the situation, and say the external review is imminent. To receive this report now, when we know we're going to have this comprehensive review, the timing, it was a matter of timing.
But what's the matter of timing?
Because what had been, or what I was presuming, was going to be included in the review, in the review, was going to be what was part of the follow-up report. And so that, in the terms of reference, it had specific mention of, you know, the DIFP or the thresholds. So, you know, we were confident in our conversations that it would be all-encompassing and include that as part of the review.
I guess the question is, why not do both? The police have the document.
Yes, yes.
Carry on with the review.
In hindsight, that's what should have happened. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Well, I tender the email, Commissioner, which is qps.0001.1312.0001. That's the Inspector Neville's email of the 1st of April.
Did you want to tender the Inspector Neville's email of 16 March?
Oh, that's part of the chain, which is...
Oh, is it? All right. The emails of Inspector Neville of 16th March and 1st April 2022 to Ms. Allen, copy to Ms. Keller, are Exhibit 137.
Now... I note the time. I might just try to deal with one part of one topic before we break, if that's convenient.
How long are you going to be tomorrow, do you think, Mr. Hodge?
I think about an hour.
All right, we'll leave it till tomorrow then, because unless you think you can finish it.
I definitely can't finish it, but there's one part that I think it might be convenient to ask.
All right, you go ahead. About. Do you think so? Go ahead.
I wanted to move forward in time. In June of this year, you received a phone call from Mr. Drummond asking for advice about the reverting to the workflows that were in place prior to the 2018 change.
Yes.
And after you received the phone call, you spoke to Ms. Allen.
Correct.
And you asked her to put together a proposal.
I did.
And you understood that what Mr. Drummond was seeking was to know what the workflow was before the 2018 decision, so that in effect you could undo the 2018 decision.
That's what I thought, yes.
And that's what you explained to Ms. Allen?
That's what I believe I asked Ms. Allen for.
And then she sent you an email, and can we bring this up? This is WIT.0017.0153.0001. So you see, this is the email late that afternoon from Ms. Allen to you.
Yes.
And she says, option one preferred, revert to pre-2018 workflow.
Yes.
And option two, not the preferred, discontinue 2018 workflow.
Yes.
And you read that, I assume.
Quickly.
And you see in the... Tell me if you understood at the time that in option one, samples within the relevant range would not be concentrated before amplification, and in option two, they would be concentrated before amplification?
Not at that time.
You didn't understand that at the time?
It wasn't in what was provided to me there. So, no, I missed that part of it.
Okay. What you did understand was that option one was said to be the pre-2018 workflow, and option two was said to not be the 2018.
That's workflow. How I understood it.
And you understood that what Mr. Drummond was asking you for was the pre-2018 workflow.
I believe so.
And so you then copied and pasted that information into an email that you sent to Mr. Drummond. Can we bring up WIT.0017.0154.0001? This is the email that you sent later that afternoon to Mr. Drummond, where you effectively make some edits, but you copy what was said by Ms. Allen.
Yes, I didn't change any of the scientific wording. I don't believe I did.
You sort of edited a little bit and added some emphasis, I think.
It was discussed, but yes, it was presented in slightly different formatting.
So, for example, in option two, concentrate and process, you specifically identified that option two was concentrating and processing.
Upon Kathy's advice, yes.
So you must have, by the time you sent this email to Mr. Drummond, you must have understood that option one was said to be process only and option two was said to be concentrate and process.
That's what I was told by Ms. Allen.
And option one was said to be the reverting to the pre-2018 workflow and option two was said to be discontinuing the 2018 workflow.
That's what I was told.
And so that afternoon you must have understood that what you were communicating to Mr. Drummond was that not concentrating was consistent with what had been done pre-2018.
That's what I was told by Ms. Allen. That's what her email said.
And that's what you communicated to Mr. Drummond?
Correct.
And you tightened up the wording so that was absolutely clear?
Oh, just the formatting.
Well, it's a bit more than that, isn't it? If we put that on one side of the page and on the left-hand side of the page put up WIT.0017.0153.0001, You see, Ms. Allen's email to you just had option one preferred, option two not the preferred, but your email to Mr. Drummond makes absolutely clear that concentration is the least preferred option two part, which was not consistent with the old workflow, and option one is process only, no concentration. That's preferred, and that was the pre-2018 workflow.
That's what Ms. Allen told me. That's what she sent me.
Well, again,
the scientific side of it was unchanged.
Did you, between getting that email from Ms. Allen and sending it to Mr. Drummond, did you speak to Ms. Allen to have her explain it to you further?
No, we were constructing an email and I trusted her with the scientific component.
I understand. Just listen to me if you can. Did you speak to Ms. Allen between her sending you her email at 3:57 p.m. and you sending your email to Mr. Drummond?
Yes.
She was in the room with
you? Yes.
And so she sent you this text, you copied it over, and then the two of you tightened up the language.
Three of us, yes.
Oh, there was also Ms. Slade there, is that right?
That's right.
And so the three of you tightened up the language so there could be no doubt the pre-2018 workflow, no concentration.
That's your impression. My impression is that the science was presented by Kathy, the formatting and some of the key points were added to by myself. With the assistance of Ms. Allen and Ms. Slade.
And when did you first realise that the process that was adopted, which was option one, was not in fact the pre-2018 workflow?
I think it was when I came back from leave.
I see. You never realised before that?
No. No, I did not.
When you got Dr. Muller's email, and we'll bring that up, fss.0001.0083.0034 and underscore R, the redacted version.
That's not it.
Sorry, I think that's the wrong... It's fss.0001.0083.0034 underscore R.
Yes.
And then can we just blow up the email at the bottom? So you see Dr. Muller emails you on the 17th of June 2022
mm-hmm.
and she says she's been away sick for 2 weeks.
And you
see she says, I've been away sick for 2 weeks and so have missed out on the conversation surrounding the process change where DIFP samples are now going through to amplification without undergoing a concentration step. Concentrating the samples is what we used to do prior to the DIFP process. I'm confused, as are others. I would have thought these samples should go through to concentration immediately.
That's what it says.
And you read the email?
Oh, briefly.
Okay. Did you read it enough to know she was raising an issue about the process?
Yes.
Did you read it enough to know she was raising an issue of saying we're going through to amplification without concentration?
Not really, no.
How is that possible?
Because what I have done, and hopefully it's, well, maybe it isn't. When it came to the scientific aspects, I did not offer comment. I did not try and clarify anything because, as I said earlier today, I trusted the experts to provide me with advice. So, therefore, in this case, this represented a scientific question, which I'm not a DNA scientist. So I immediately thought this is a very scientific technical question. This is not in my expertise. So that's why I said, as you'll see, I said, I'm not a forensic DNA scientist. Please refer this to somebody who is.
We'll come to what you did in a moment. I just want to focus on my question, which was, how could you not have understood that the issue that she was raising was that samples are now being processed straight through to amplification without undergoing concentration?
As I've said, You know, it's I didn't understand all of that. I accepted what I was being told. So I now know, and I think the benefit of the commission has been that I've been rapidly educated. At that point, I just took what I was told and accepted it.
Do you think it's adequate that for you in your role as executive director, it takes a commission of inquiry to educate you as to the functioning of the DNA lab?
I think that that is not my role to be a DNA scientist. And as I've said, the director of EDFSS or the EDFSS does not have to be a scientific expert in forensic DNA analysis. There are very few of them, and I'm not one.
So you see then the next paragraph from Dr. Muller says, there is a concern among some of the scientists that we are amplifying DIFP samples suboptimally. So when we get poor profile management can say, we told you so, there is nothing to see here. Did you read that?
Briefly.
And then you see it goes on to say, apparently Kathy has said it was a ministerial decision. Did the minister know we used to concentrate the samples and that the new process is not reflective of normal processing for these types of samples? Many questions here, I realise.
I can see that.
And do you say you read this email, but you didn't understand that Dr. Muller was saying to you, the process that has been adopted is not the pre-2018 process?
Not at the time.
And doing the best you can for us, can you explain how it could be that you could have read this email and not realise that?
I think it's quite clear that that was the science was not where I intervened.
But this is not the science. You don't need to know any detail of the science whatsoever, Ms. Keller. You're smiling at me. I just don't understand. You got an email from Dr. Muller saying, why have we adopted this process? Because it's not the process that was used pre-2018.
That's why I referred it to the scientists who are the experts. I was not qualified, nor should I offer my scientific opinion.
And when you read, there is a concern among the scientists that this will mean we can say, we told you so, there is nothing to see here. What did you make of that?
I didn't know what that meant.
And then let's have a look at what your response was at the top of the page. You wrote back to her and said, hello, Ingrid, as you know, I'm not an expert in DNA analysis. Have you put this to Justin or Kathy for clarification? They are the people who should confirm this for you, sorry?
That's right.
And just to be clear, Dr. Muller had told you 3 months earlier that she was afraid of Ms. Allen and believed that Ms. Allen punished people?
That's why I added Justin. Those are the two experts.
And I'm struggling to understand, what is the question that you thought you were sending her off to ask Mr. Howes and Ms. Allen?
I took this that she was actually asking for clarification because she'd been on leave since the implementation of that process. So she was asking for it to be clarified. And I hadn't given any instruction as to how that process would be enacted. I expected Kathy to do that. I wasn't copied into any of the correspondence to Kathy and the staff. So I said, you need to speak with Kathy or Justin about this.
She wasn't sending you an email asking for clarification of the process.
She was sending you an email. That's how I took it.
How could you? Let's bring that email up. What part of this email did you take as her requesting clarification of what the process was?
The last sentence.
Is there any chance we can get some clarity on this?
Yes.
But what is this?
The question she's asking.
Which is?
The process that was put into place.
She's asking, why did the minister make this decision?
I don't know where she got that from.
You don't know where she got what from?
The minister making that decision.
She tells you it's because that's what Ms. Allen has said.
So that's fine, but I saw, is there any chance we can get clarity on this? Therefore, my mechanism for her to get clarity on this was to ask the experts. That's what I did.
When you look at this exchange of emails in hindsight, do you regard this as demonstrating even the most basic level of competence that could be expected from somebody in your position?
I think we've now got the benefit of hindsight and the ability to assess huge amounts of information in a short period of time and then apply that to people who are in circumstances that were a long time ago and different. And I made the decision I did at the time. It's easy to look back and superimpose all of the things that we know now. I did not know that at the time. I trusted my experts. So that is what I did.
Do I understand the substance of your evidence to be this, that having been told that there are these two possibilities and this is the one that a reversion to pre-2018, whatever it meant, which you didn't know, that you put that to the DG and the DG accepted that and said do that, then you got an email from Ms. Moller and weren't in a position then to understand the scientific or any ramifications of what she was putting. And so you didn't understand that there was any particular angst or intensity about it, and rather regarded it as a not unnatural question from somebody who's been away for a couple of weeks, yes, wanting to know what the score was. And on that footing said, you'd better ask somebody who knows what the score is.
So, I did. And Ingrid or Dr. Moller was the only person that contacted me. So at that time I had no reason to do anything other than refer it to the experts who would give that clarification.
Because as I understand it, all you would be able to say would be that, well, that's the pre-2018 position and they wanted to go back to that.
That's right. What I knew at the time.
Could I just ask you something in relation to the meeting you had with Mr. Drummond?
Yes.
Don't go to your statement, but you say that having sent that email to him, you then met with him and Professor McNeil and Dr. Derrington.
Oh,
and at the on the 6th of June at
yes,
12:30.
Yes.
And Mr. Drummond then said, well, his decision is go with option one.
The decision, yes.
And you then told Ms. Allen that. In your statement, you say, immediately after my meeting with Mr. Drummond, Professor McNeil and Dr. Derrington, you remember that?
Yes.
And did you say anything that could have led Ms. Allen to believe that this was a ministerial decision as opposed to a decision by the Director General?
No, I think that there was misunderstanding because at the same time, I believe the Minister or the Premier was making an announcement, and I think that's where the confusion was.
I see. All right, thanks.
It was almost at exactly the same time.
Yes, I see.
And could we just go to the top of that document? That handwriting at the top, is that your handwriting?
It is.
And you've put possibly linked to email advice to Acting Director General 3/June/22? Question
yes,
mark.
Yep.
When did you make that note?
Oh, I don't know.
Did you make it on about the 17th of June or at some other stage?
Possibly.
It's just if you made it on the 17th of June of this year, then it would suggest that you understood that Dr. Muller's query was linked to the email advice that you provided to Mr. Drummond on the 3rd of June.
That's my note that I kept. I knew what the advice was at that stage. I understood that Dr. Muller was questioning what had been enacted.
Yeah.
At that stage, what I knew was that I'd been told that option one was selected. I'd immediately mentioned to Ms. Allen to enact that. And then I received the email from Dr. Moller asking for clarification around that. So that's how I linked that up with that, because that was it, Dr. Moller had been on leave after it had been enacted. That's what I understood.
I don't understand. What's the link from the issue that Dr. Muller has raised, in your view, to the advice you've given the Acting Director General on the 3rd of June?
Because she said, could you?
Yes.
Please.
Can we go down to the bottom hut?
So she said she's been away sick for 2 weeks. So I took that she may have missed out on the conversations. Could we get some clarity on this? That's how I understood it. And then in my mind I thought, okay, well, that was around the time of the decision. She's asking for clarification. It must be linked to that, which was a change in process.
No. But if we go back to the note isn't this is linked to the decision on the 6th of June. The note is possibly linked to email advice to Acting Director General 3 June 2022.
Yes.
So what is the link?
The link was,
in your view, between Dr. Muller's email to you and the advice you gave to the Director General on the 3rd of June 2022?
The change in the process. I knew I'd sent that email. That was the change in that process. And that Dr. Muller had been away. That's what that means.
Is that a convenient?
Yes. 9:30.
All right.